Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are you ready for the night train? Are you ready for the night train? All aboard! All aboard! The night train!
The New York night train is back on the rails. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, the DJ behind some of New York's most popular dance parties returns to work after an accident left him near death 5 months ago. Plus, we hear about plans to resurrect the storied punk club CBGB. And singer, songwriter, composer Rufus Wainwright joins us for a live performance. But let's begin with the DJ, Jonathan Tobin. Over the past few years, Tobin has made a name for himself as the impresario behind a series of dance nights, featuring old soul 45s like this one from Clint West and the Boogie Kings. But all of that came to a screeching halt 5 months ago after he was hit by a car in a hotel room. Here to tell us what happened all those months ago and about his miraculous recovery is Jonathan Tobin. Jonathan, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Now, I introduce you as a DJ. Lots of people think they know what DJ means, but people say what I do is DJing. When Junior Vasquez remixes a Madonna song, that's called DJing. What do you do as a DJ?
Oh, man, I'm a community organizer like a bum. No, it involves so many things. I think everyone's a DJ these days.
Well, but you do kind of old school DJing like used to happen in the discotheques of Paris in the 1960s.
Well, the technical end is old, but the other parts are the same as everyone else. And it's a psychological phenomenon where you have to basically, I guess, find a place where people on a dance floor come together. And they're all in New York particularly. You might be people from all over the world or whatever. And I think that's why people play Young MC's Bust a Move or something, because everyone from 18 to, 60 will share a common experience. I think maybe the one thing that may make it a little more difficult for me is I play things people don't tend to know, and that is probably the thing that makes it a little different than what some people do.
And when you DJ, you are using turntables.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And vinyl.
I play only original four. Actually, I play a few repos every now and then, but mostly all, 45s, original 45s.
All right. I want to find out how that all happened, but let me first ask you how it all stopped 5 months ago. I mean, what do you remember of the accident, if anything?
I'm actually, even though I am unlucky to have had a cab drive over me in my hotel room, the good thing is that I don't remember it. I was awake, but
heavily sedated, I guess.
Well, not well at the time it happened. They didn't know that I was under there at first, and they helped the cab driver, and then I think I came to, and I started screaming that I couldn't breathe or something, and I think it really freaked everybody out, but.
But you don't remember. This is you're told that you did this.
Yeah, yeah. The great thing about it, the lady at the hospital told me it's the same with motorcycle accidents, where people remember like getting on their motorcycle or something, but they don't remember the moment where they or even I was thinking in dreams sometimes. Like when I used to dream, every time I was about to die, I would wake up right before I died,
right.
And so I was so lucky that I blocked that out, and then I was sedated for over a month after that. So the harder part where, like, the fears of death and all that, like everyone else around me, my friends and family were concerned, but I wasn't really there for that.
Right.
Yeah.
What were you doing in Portland? Were you DJing?
Oh, yeah.
This is Portland, Oregon.
Well, basically, it was really an exciting thing for me. One of my favorite DJs in the world, her name is Bianda. She's a Portland DJ. She has the biggest soul party on the West Coast, and she's from Memphis, and she has great old soul 45s, but she's a hip-hop DJ on the side, so she is really good at putting them together, but and not in a cheesy way. She plays with a lot of class and a lot of feeling. Anyway, her party was 5 years old, so she flew in her three favorite DJs, Mr. Finewine from FMU, New York legend, and Ian Svenonius, one of musical legend and a great writer and all this, and all good friends.
And you.
Yeah, and me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really excited. And to make it more worth my while financially, I mean, I had a crazy week because I was in New York Friday, I was in Miami Saturday, I was in San Francisco Sunday, L.A. Tuesday, and then after Portland, I was going to have to fly her into a private gig, and I was going to have to go to Home Sweet Home after for my weekly gig, then drive to Montreal the next day. So normally, I actually, for my age, I party a lot, and I was normally in Portland, I stay up with my friends and have fun, but I decided instead that I'd have a quiet night and check in a hotel and get some rest because I was going to have to fly out after the party the next night and start again.
And you were in a ground floor hotel room.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that I got it for finally deciding to do the right thing and rest. I think someone up above told me, no, Jonathan, you're not supposed to rest.
You're not supposed to rest. So this cab comes crashing through the wall, lands on you. You spend a month, as you say, sedated. And then, I mean, this kind of like global trauma to, I mean, you lost your hearing, right?
Well, the thing that's weird, I couldn't hear very well at first, but I couldn't tell until I tried to make a phone call. And I was like, this phone doesn't work. But what's interesting is that one of the ears works halfway, and the other ear, I mean, it's still really damaged and it's still getting some blood and stuff. So I might actually get something back. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, I mean, I got a major head injury, and you know, and I didn't really lose any of my cognitive abilities or my short-term memory. So I feel kind of lucky that it's just the hearing. Right. I'd rather have that than, you know, brain damage. Or
right.
You know.
We're speaking with the DJ Jonathan Tobin, who is host of parties including New York Night Train and Soul Clap, and returning to work this week after this accident 5 months ago that left him in critical condition. I'm assuming that, like most musicians, DJs, you didn't have health care. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to get to that one day, but I didn't get around to.
So, you know, these impossibly steep medical bills, but bands and fans and complete strangers have been, you know, there's been this kind of outpouring of generosity to help out.
Yeah, I was really shocked. I didn't know, when I woke up, I had no idea where I was or what happened. And I was really bummed out when I found out what happened. But then, like, you know, my mom and my friends are, oh, but your friends have been doing some very nice things, you know, and like, I started looking around and I was like, wow, I can't believe it was like it was great. And the other thing I was very impressed with, and I just thought of this the other day in an interview, I was like, man, not only did they do that for me, but what I was really proud of is when some people sent me some links to photos of the parties for me, and my friends were doing the appropriate thing. They were pouring beer down each other's throats. They were dancing. And I know that if I die, that they got the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
And my time was well spent here.
Well, now, you know, in addition to folks, you know, raising money for your medical bills, one DJ, finding out that a very rare and expensive 45 of yours was destroyed in the crash, got another copy for
you.
Yeah,
that was crazy. And I really vaguely know this man, but he's great. He's part of the Dig Deeper party. His name's Honky. And apparently a few, not all the ones, we found more that were destroyed, but the ones that were immediately in pieces, they sent out a list. Mr. Finewein sent out a list of those saying, if any of you guys got a copy of this. And he didn't even have an extra copy. He went and waited on eBay for one to finally come up. And I don't even know what he's probably spent hundreds of dollars on. It was pretty cool.
Well, the clip is Willie Knows How. It's a song from Willie West. And Jonathan Tobin likes to close with this one. Willie West, and a tune called Willie Knows How. It's a New Orleans record that you like to close your parties, some of your parties with.
Oh,
at least.
Yeah.
Jonathan Tobin, the DJ behind the New York Night Train, Soul Clap, and Dance Off. He's playing this Saturday at Glasslands Gallery, the Soul Clap and Dance Off party. You can also find a link to his website, which includes a SoundCloud page with some of Jonathan's dance floor favorites on our website, wnyc.org/soundcheck. So, Jonathan, post-accident, you got this long, well, it's 5 months, but it could have been a lot longer. But, you know, how did you get back to spinning?
It seemed like years. I just basically, I did a couple secret gigs in Oregon. One of my best friends since high school lives there. His name's Noah, and he has a band called Small Arms and had a record release party. He was like, and I told him that I wanted to maybe sneak in. And also a friend of mine owns a club called East End, and I mentioned it to him that I want to start trying to DJ without anyone knowing that I'm there just to see if I could do
it. If you could do it, yeah.
Yeah, so I did that, and then beyond the DJ that had me, I actually did make a gig with her, but mm-hmm. I guess, again, it was a secret one at a small bar.
And did you find that, you know, was it difficult? I mean, there's the timing, of course, but then there's the even more practical problem of the hearing loss.
Oh, yeah, it was really frustrating. It was, you know, like learning to walk and all that other stuff I was doing. I was seriously bummed out. But, yeah, it's working out.
And you DJed before Jack White's show at Webster Hall here in New York a couple of weeks back. What was that like?
Yeah, that was crazy. They just called me, like, they just found out I was in town and called me, like, literally the night before. And it's like, hey, you know. So that was pretty okay. I mean, it was nice to hang out in the booth with Jay-Z.
Mm.
But again, that playing at a rock show is really easy because it's not, I mean, it's DJing, but you don't really, it's like being a iPod or something. Like you just play songs. Nobody really dances. You just create mood. And I played later that night at Home Sweet Home, which started well, but I personally, everyone else thought I was great, but they're all drunk. I didn't feel that good. It wasn't until Friday night this week I did a secret one at Home Sweet Home, and I'm there like every Friday, but so people kind of knew I was going to be there maybe, but I just really, it might have been the presence of Kid Congo Powers, who is a guy I put out a bunch of his records earlier when I had the label, and very comforting presence. But I finally broke through after all those secret gigs. The first one that I felt comfortable was in the middle of Friday.
So you now feel like you're back.
Well, I hope if things work out. It worked out then. It worked out Sunday. Mm-hmm. But two times doesn't mean it's going to be good always.
We're speaking with Jonathan Tobin, the New York DJ whose parties include New York Night Train. There's Soul Clap and Dance Off happening this Saturday night at the Glasslands Gallery. And when you did come back, you know, to Brooklyn Bowl on Sunday, what did you start with? What was your first song?
Ooh, actually, I played I'm Alive, which was
how appropriate.
A really unusual version by Johnny Thunder, who's a soul man, but he was covering Tommy James. I hope you have a clip of that one.
Ask and ye shall receive. That is Johnny Thunder and a 1969 version of I'm Alive. Bit of a statement from Jonathan Tobin, the DJ, when he began spinning again regularly this past Sunday at Brooklyn Bowl. After a five-month recovery from a horrific accident that nearly left him dead there in Portland, Oregon, the New York DJ back in the saddle booth. What's the right word for a DJ? Back in the booth, right?
Yeah.
Night Train. How did you get into this whole thing? Are you an accidental DJ? Was there a grand plan?
No, I never wanted to be a DJ. I always looked at those guys and thought they were a bunch of clowns. But, you know, life's weird. I put on a, like I said, I had a little record label, and I was just getting out of graduate school. I was starting to play in bands. You know, I've always been a musician.
What do you play?
I don't know. It was just weird. Like, we had to throw some, like a record release party for Kid Congo, mm-hmm. you know, from Cramps and Gun Club and Bad Seeds. And I just ended up, I don't know, just doing, I didn't DJ at that, but Ian Spinonius, who was one of the guys there, he asked me to put on a DJ night for him and Calvin Johnson, the Beat Happening guy from K Records. And so I did that. And then and when I invited the guy from Motor City to come, he's like, why don't you do this stuff here? And I was like, oh. And so I just started inviting people, and I wasn't serious. I had MP3s and CDs and anything, because I didn't really think I was going to be a DJ. I mean, it was mostly vinyl LPs you know, my youth.
So how did you get into, I mean, it seems like now you don't do MP3s, you don't do CDs, you don't even really do vinyl LPs. You are all about the 45s.
Well, I kept finding more of them, and when I would cut them all together, that thing popped out the most. And when it became clear, like I got invited to do more and more things, and as it was my living, I was like, well, if I think this is the supreme form, I should do it. And secondly, one of the big problems with DJs right now is they can play anything they want. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be, you know, whatever fits in your crate was part of, you know, your artistry is what, wow, I don't have that. And having only a few things, you actually have to make do with what you have. And so having 45s is just like a limited amount of choices. Some records you want never even came on a 45. Mm-hmm. And so with that, you have to build something, and it actually makes a more coherent statement than the mishmash of whatever, like Lady Gaga and Foreigner or whatever people are doing these days, like one minute clips or something.
So there's a lot of thought involved before you ever set out of your apartment.
Oh, yeah. I spent a couple hours getting ready for a gig.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Tobin is the DJ who hosts parties like New York Night Train. I mentioned Soul Clap and Dance Off. There's another one. There's the Land of a Thousand Dances party. How many different names for parties do you have?
Well, the whole point of the different parties is to offer people something unique to do. For instance, the Polyglot Discotheque, we're like, let's do all foreign language pop from the 60s, which is a side passion of mine, not like a main
thing. So you've got a crate of foreign language 45s.
Yeah, and my favorite DJ in New York, Josh Stiles, he has tons of them too. Mm-hmm. And we get a band and we do that. Or one night I came to this place, Zebulon. These French guys are really open-minded. I'm like, okay, guys, let's do an only blues party, a dance party. And they're like, great! And I'm like, and everyone else is like, you crazy? But we've done a few, I call it Boogie Night, because all these DJs are in this thing called Boogie that's this 80s, like, wedding, black wedding music or something, and I can't stand it. But I think of John Lee Hooker when I think of Boogie, so I thought, well, let's just do this, see what happens. And every time people really, they get dirty to blues with a beat.
And what happens, you know, with New York Night Train? Is that just kind of like classic soul?
Oh, well, New York Night Train is actually that's my production company, and that's what people advertise it, like a New York Night Train party. If it's not really a concept, it's usually just a general party with me, but I try to put that tag on everything because it's sort of a brand name.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're on. It's only 5 months after the accident. You're still on the road to recovery. What's the next step? What's the next chapter?
Oh, well, I guess physically it's just that I have to relax a little more and only work twice a week. Mm-hmm. what I hope to do with my extra time is just, you know, get organized. You know, and in New York, too, I don't know where anything is. I don't know where my records are yet. Yeah. Like, I have to go through thousands of them, and I have to do a lot of work on my body and, you know.
Physical therapy and stuff.
And I'll be done soon. You know, like I said, I'm so enthusiastic to do it, but I'm getting a little tired quickly still.
Well, you got a tour starting in June. Good luck with that. In the background is the theme for Jonathan's Friday basement party. This is King Coleman's Down in the Basement from 1962. Jonathan Tobin is a DJ based here in New York. Remarkable story of recovery and of spinning music all these years. And Jonathan, thank you for being with us on
Soundcheck.
Thank
you, John.
Up next, New York vanished venue CBGB may be making a comeback. We hear more about plans for the storied punk club. And then later, Rufus Wainwright joins us with his new album, Out of the Game. He'll play live. This is Soundcheck.